Elise, live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Link is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
WSB, I'm Elise Klink. This is the Elise Klink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter, follow me on Twitter, I'm at Glink. And let me just start out by saying thank you, Atlanta. Once again, everybody who listens to this station pitched in, called us, and we raised over $1.5 million for the Aflac Cancer Center. It's our 13th annual carathon. I can't believe it's gone. It comes and goes so quickly. But wow, two amazing days. Thank you, Atlanta, for participating, for calling, for sharing your stories, for opening up your hearts and your wallets in a time when it's just, you know, where are we at? 7 years of this? Honestly, $1.5 million. I have to tell you, I think that the show that Walter Reeves and I did on Thursday night may have been my favorite of all these 13 years that we've done this show together, this Inside and Outside of the House show, where we had these two amazing guests, Norberto and, oh my God, I'm blanking on the woman's name from Thursday, the first hour. Anyway, we had these two amazing guests. They shared their stories. We were sitting at the hospital, and, you know, there but for the grace of God, right? There but for the grace of God go our kids. And if something should happen, how amazing for Atlanta and the whole southeastern part of the U.S., for actually they pull in from all over the place, that there's this incredible resource, and we have it here. Just amazing. So thank you, Atlanta, for helping us raise $1.5 million for the Aflac Cancer Center. You can still donate. We don't have lines open anymore, I can't tell you that, but at WSBRadio.com, where more and more people have donated this year. Wow, that is really just zoomed. So people are listening where their computers are, right? You can still donate to the cause and be part of the cure. And that's just what we want. We'll do it again next year. We hope you'll join us again next year. And I just wanted to say thank you. And now, on to the business of rebuilding your life and rebuilding America. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We actually have a call that's already come in. I'm happy to take that. And then I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with mortgage delinquencies, what happened with mortgage interest rates this week, and some of the other news. So we're going to get to that as well. And feel free to call in. Lines are open, 404-872-0750. Dan joins us on the line from Cartersville. Hi, Dan.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, too. What's going on?
Well, I was talking with your screener, and I just wanted to tell you about our real estate experience.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year ago, we decided to buy a property, and it's a condo that we purchased in Alpharetta. And we did it for two reasons, basically with the thought of moving there in the near future, and for investment as well. And it's been going quite well. We got a favorable interest rate of about 4.2%.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular time, the market was still kind of in a downturn.
Yeah.
So we got a good price. And of course, we had to put a few dollars into it. Did some sweat equity. We did some painting, things of that nature.
Yeah. And always have to do that with an investment property.
And cleaned it up. And we had to replace the hot water tank and furnace AC, so we put a few bucks into it.
Yeah.
And we decided that we were the type of people, I didn't want to be bothered with midnight phone calls, with problems, so we opted for a property manager to take care of that. And overall, it's been a very favorable experience. And we've been very pleased, and we're still clearing after taxes, insurance, et cetera, about $360 a month. So we're very happy with that, and we've had virtually no problems.
So this is great, and you called because?
Just to share that with you.
I see. So you actually bought investment property, and you're having a great experience.
Yes, exactly right.
Good for you.
And, of course, not everybody likes to, mess with a property manager, but for us, that little bit that we pay every month is to us is worth it. And they got the client in there, or the tenant, rather. They did the background checks, the credit checks and all that other stuff. So our situation is pretty much hands off.
Well, I think that sounds fantastic. I wouldn't, just as a point of fact, I wouldn't do it too much hands off because you want to make sure you know what's going on with that property at all
right.
points in time. But
right.
good for you.
But anyway, that's I just wanted to share that with you and your listeners. That it's gone quite well, and hopefully down the road we'll actually be able to move into that place ourselves.
Sounds great. Dan, thanks so much for sharing this morning.
All right, have a good day.
You too. It is 13 minutes past the hour. Wow, we're kicking things off with a happy story with a happy ending. Who knew? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online at glink, at GLINK. And thinklink.com. All right, so the news of the week, which was, I thought, most interesting, is that mortgage delinquencies have taken a sharp turn up. And we'd had 5 months of improvement in the number of people who were paying late on their mortgages. And all of a sudden, things kind of reversed in June. So the national delinquency rate is 6.7%. It's up 10% from May. It's at the highest level since February, according to Lender Processing Services. And the data that's even more disturbing is that nearly half of the loans modified in 2009 under the Obama administration's Housing Rescue Program have defaulted again, second time defaults. And it's really interesting. It has helped about 865,000 homeowners avoid foreclosure, but 306,000 could not keep up with even the modified payments. And the program, of course, as I have said many, many times, does not, but should, force the banks to write down the mortgage principal. So overall, the mortgage delinquencies are a little bit lower than last year, but I think there's a real concern here about how the modification stuff happened and how the Obama administration was modifying these loans. And because they didn't force the banks to do it, because they didn't say, you went out, you made some of these loans, they were bad loans, they didn't force them to actually write down the principal, some of these people who... Okay, so let me wind this back a little bit and remind you about how the modifications actually took place. Few people got new fixed-rate loans at 2.6%. Some of the people got loans that started out at 2.2% or 2.5%, and that was where they were for the first year or two, and then they stepped it up to 3.5%, 4.5%, 5.5%. And once you had your loan modified, you couldn't get it modified again. So interest rates from 2009 fell further, right? They were hitting the all-time low last year. So these people were all locked into those rates, and it wasn't clear that they were going, it's adjustable rate mortgages, right? It wasn't clear that they were actually going to be able to afford going further, going into the future, the higher interest rates. There was supposed to be a test about that. But things happen, and so there has been this huge wave of defaults on these modified loans that is now going to kick foreclosures in the butt once again, and it's not going to be a great thing. Now, you could say, well, prices are going up, and there's no need to worry because there's so much demand for houses. Well, why is there demand for houses? There's demand for houses because investors are way overrepresented in the marketplace. Dan, we just heard from Dan, right? Last year he bought a condo investment in Alpharetta. He's got a manager, put some bucks into it, but they're clearing, $4,000 a year profit. Investors have driven this recovery. They have. And that's not a horrible thing. But when you've got hedge funds and you've got private equity groups buying thousands of properties at a time or hundreds at a time, you've squeezed out people who are first-time home buyers who actually want to buy a home and live in for the next 10 years, which is much more stable for a neighborhood. What do these home equity groups want to do? They want to get their money out of it. They'd like to fix and flip. But you can't really do that in mass. And so then they're going to rent out the properties, right? And maybe someday they'll sell those properties to those homeowners. But it's not a long-term solution that's good for neighborhoods, that rebuilds neighborhoods, the way that actually having first-time homebuyers move in rebuilds neighborhoods. And so the fact that the delinquency rate is going up is a very dangerous sign. It also says to me, it speaks to the underlying fact that the economy is not recovered. It is not recovered. The jobs aren't there. The manufacturing, the people who depend on these across the country to actually give them the overtime isn't there that they used to have. I met so many people over the last couple of days at Carathon that came into the call center and talked to us, and, you know, they know people who are still not doing well. This is not a great recovery. You can't have a great recovery with 2% growth. That's not what it is. And the fact that we look better than China or we look better than Latin America isn't the same thing. It's just not. And so looking at the kinds of jobs that you can't export, that you build here, right? That's what we're trying to do. All right, more on this in a minute. 404-872-0750. Lines are wide open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Lines are open, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take some calls today, talking about money and real estate, like we always do. One thing I do want to talk about, this week in Money Watch on CBS News, I was talking about how high mortgage interest rates would rise in 2013. And what's interesting about this story, which I'll tweet out the link if you want to follow me on at Glink on Twitter, at Glink, G-L-I-N-K. What's interesting about this story is that actually mortgage interest rates fell back a little bit this week. So we saw them zoom up, you know, from 3.5% for a 30-year fix to 4.5% for a 30-year fix. There was a one-point zoom, and then it's fallen back to like 4.25%, which I think has made everybody feel a little bit more comfortable, because once you start getting on this, wow, it's going to jump up a point a week, you know, it almost seems like, inevitable that we're going to have hyperinflation. But there's anything but hyperinflation going on right now. In fact, the Fed has made it super clear that we're not getting hyperinflation anytime soon and that they will continue to hold the federal funds rate as low as they possibly can to try and gin up more interest in the economy, which is slow. We're a lot better off than we were 3 years ago, but no way, no how are we anywhere near what a real recovery would look like. But it's so interesting that a year ago, the interest rates in the benchmark 30-year fixed were hovering at about 3.5% or even less, and they bottomed out in November at 3.31%, which is really amazing. Now, we are still seeing the 15-year rate at 3.5%, and that is the interest rate to get. So if you are interested in getting a loan, that's the loan I want you to look at, a 3.5% 15-year fixed rate mortgage. And if you can't get that, I'd love you to look even more at the 10-year rate, which is still at around 3% or maybe even a little bit under still, depending on if you want to buy it down. All good stuff. These are historic low interest rates. Not the very low, but really darn close. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Hey, it's 35 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am online all the time. Well, somebody is. ThinkGlink.com. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And join the conversation. All right, we are talking mortgage interest rates and refinancing and what the heck is going on with mortgage delinquencies. Let's go to the phones. Cindy joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, good morning. Great good morning. To talk to you. I just actually put a contract in on a home yesterday, and I'm trying to try and do an FHA loan. And I've had a couple of different lenders offer me different rates. Two of them said 4.35% on a 30-year fixed on FHA.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said he wanted to do 4.75 with a 120-day lock. And the payment's, you know, about $300 more a month when I'm doing that just by the jump in the interest rate. The home's not going to be done until November or December. Am I better off trying to do a lock now at that higher rate or just holding out to see what happens with the rate?
All right, so let's back up a little bit. You're buying a brand new house.
Yes.
Okay, and how much are you putting down on this house?
3.5% right now since we're going FHA.
Okay, can you do more?
Yes, we can do more.
Why wouldn't you do more?
I think it's because we were more interested in trying to get the payment down. That was our biggest focus, is trying to pay less per month. We're also trying to go Fannie Mae or conventional, and that's just a has to do with a piece of property that was involved in a bankruptcy about 5 years ago.
All right, I'm really confused by what you just said. So the more money you put down, the lower your payment's going to be.
Yeah, but the money we could put down extra, we can put down extra, isn't going to affect it that much. I think it was, we put an extra $5,000 down and it dropped it by $20.
Okay, so you're thinking you won't put down the extra, so you won't qualify for a conventional loan at 3.5% down, I don't think.
No, it's at 5%. You do it at 5%.
5%.
Right,
okay.
So we could put 5% down.
Okay, well, my first thing that I would say to you is you should always put down as much as you can.
Okay.
Because it lowers the payment. It also lowers your PMI. Right? So
right.
At 3.5% on an FHA, you're going to pay higher mortgage insurance than if you put down 5% or 15% or 20%. Then you don't need it at all.
Okay.
So really, you should try to put down more, even on the FHA loan. And the mortgage insurance is just so incredibly expensive now at FHA.
Yeah.
That if you can go conventional, you're better off.
Right.
It is not worthwhile paying for a 120-day lock at this point in time, I don't think.
Okay.
When you are 90 days out, you should start shopping around. And
okay.
I really don't see the economy starting to get a whole lot better anytime soon. Right? So if the economy were to suddenly have an amazing quarter of 3% growth, which so isn't happening, but just let's say for kick's sake that it did, then I could see interest rates start to rise. But I don't see that happening here. So you're going to end up with somewhere between 4.3% and 4.5%, but there's no reason for you to have to pay for that lock. Now, I don't really have a crystal ball. I know it sounds like I do, but I don't. So there is a risk that you take, but this, you know, you're risking a quarter of a percent with the lock, and I would rather see you buy down the interest rate with that money and pay less overall.
And we talked about doing that, too, doing a buy-down on the interest rate. And that was going to be pretty steep to do that. It was about $8,600 we were going to have to pay to buy it down.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you're going to, you know, if you've got an extra $5,000, you're almost there.
Okay.
Right? And you're not going to be paying the 120-day lock. So that...
Oh.
So when I'm
buy it down, you don't pay a lock on it. You just
no. But you're not going to do the 120-day lock at 4.75%,
right?
So there's money to be played around with, just depending on where it is. But once you're 90 days out, I want you to start watching where interest rates are. You should watch them for the next 60, 90 days anyway,
okay?
And see what happens. But we're going to see interest rates bump around where they are. And if you're really paying attention and you're working with a lender who's a really good lender, when interest rates get to a good place, they're going to call you and say, you know, think about locking in now.
Okay. And do you think it's worthwhile to buy it down? Is that what you would do?
I probably would not.
Okay.
Only because you may, at some point in time, be able to do something different.
Oh.
And you would want, that only pays if you're going to only keep the loan for a certain period of time. There's an actual calculation that you can make. And then you decide, well, if I'm going to keep it for 5 years, this is what I have to pay, but this is what I'm getting out of it. Then it's worthwhile.
Sense.
But if you have to pay $8,600, how long is it going to take you to save $8,600 with that lower interest rate?
Right. That makes sense.
So if interest rates go way up, you know, you're protected, right, because you have a fixed rate loan. If interest rates go down, you can just refinance.
Yeah, we just came out of a adjustable for the past 10 years, and I'm never doing that again. Never doing it again.
Why? You benefited tremendously from that.
From an adjustable?
Yeah.
It was too scary for us because of our financial situation. Just with changes we had over the past 10 years, we also got stuck with a second mortgage that has a balloon payment that's due on it. And I don't even know how I got into that when we did this deal.
Okay. Well, that's not... Okay, so you have to separate out the mistakes you made with what an adjustable rate mortgage can do for you. Let's be fair. I've had adjustable rate mortgages since 1992, maybe 1993. And so for almost 20 years, because about 2.5 years ago, we got a 15-year fixed at like 3% or something.
Uh-huh.
They were very, very good to us. Adjustable rate mortgages saved us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over those 20 years, all of which we plowed back into paying down our different loans on our different properties, and it's been great. They were great. So you actually benefited financially, but what you're telling me is you couldn't sleep at night, and that's reason enough to go with a fixed rate loan. There is an investment quality aspect to adjustable rate mortgages that not everybody is suited to.
Well, yeah, unless you have to be, you know, some of us aren't educated enough. I mean, I'm educated, but... Again, I'd rather sleep at night, like you said. I don't want to have to worry about it. And if at some point down the road it was feasible and it was a good money decision, I could turn around and refinance and get an adjustable.
You always can. You always can.
So.
But in the meantime, it sounds like you're on the right track here, and I wish you a lot of luck. Just watch what's going on over the next 60, 90 days, and when you get a little bit closer, you can lock in on lock in where it looks like it's going to work for you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much for your help.
Hey, you're welcome, Cindy. Congratulations on the home. I hope it goes well. 404-872-0750. Jerry joins me on the line. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
What's going on?
Well, I'm looking in about 6 weeks to being able to close on a piece of property that I own outright. If that sale all goes through, I would be able to pay off my mortgage on my present house, which is what I very much want to do. But I want to be sure that that's at least a sensible thing for me to be considering.
Okay, so I have to understand a whole lot more. You sound very nervous. Why are you so nervous about the mortgage on your current house?
I'm not nervous about the mortgage on my current house.
All right, what are you nervous about?
I want to be free of any mortgage. I want to own the house outright. I'm 75 years old. I'm living on a pension, and I would like to feel that I owned 100% of my house at this point in my life.
Okay.
I would also like not to be paying out interest money. I feel as if that's, and to some extent, would be a savings for me. But I, in this situation where I'm going to be having a fair amount of money, I want to be sure that I'm being sensible in the way I'm planning to use it.
Well, I would have to say, Jerry, I'm not sure that you are. So,
all right.
You, in your head, you want to be debt-free. And you equate having debt with some sort of cash flow problem. How much are you selling the property for that you're selling?
Just over $200,000.
Okay. And how much are you going to clear from that?
I'm not sure after taxes how much.
What taxes? Is it investment property?
I guess it is considered investment property at this point.
Is it rented?
It does not have a home on it. It's vacant at this point. The home that was there burned. It was a home that my husband and I shared for many, many years, but we had moved out before the house burned. And at this point, I'm able to, it looks as if I'm going to be able to sell the house. I'm sorry, to sell the lot for something more than $200,000.
Okay, and did you receive insurance money on the house that burned?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of cash that came from that property.
Right.
And when did you move from that property?
12 years ago.
Okay, so it probably would be considered investment property at this point.
Right.
And you've probably made good money on it.
Right.
Right? So.
Right.
That's fine. So let's just say you clear $150,000 from it.
Okay.
How much is your current mortgage?
The amount that I currently owe is between $95,000 and $100,000.
So you're going to pay off this loan and still have $50,000 left. And how much is your monthly payment on the mortgage?
I have a good interest rate, so my monthly payment is just under $700 a month.
Okay. So you pay this off and you clear an extra $700 a month. Is that meaningful for you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You also could just have the $150,000 in cash and take out the $700 a month, which would translate into about $10,000 a year.
Right.
That would give you 15 years of $700 a month payments if you just used up all the principal. It would take
right.
you to age 90.
Right.
And in the meantime, how many years do you have left to pay off on your mortgage?
It's a 30-year mortgage. I've probably got about 28, 29 years.
Mm-hmm. You just refinanced?
Yes.
Why
about a year and a half ago.
So what's your interest rate? It must be super low.
3.75 APR, 3.78 APR.
All right. It's a great interest rate, Jerry, but clearly just having the loan is making you nervous. So go ahead and pay it off. It'll give you $700 a month. You're still going to have $50,000 to put in the bank. Now you're going to be cash flow positive, if you want to think of it that way. You're going to have lots of cash and more money in the bank, and you've got your pension, and you're going to stop sounding so nervous, because you sound so nervous. This is really going to be the best thing for you. If you were a different woman, if you were a younger woman, if you were just in a different mindset, I'd say to you there are other things to do with that money. But for you, I got to say the best thing is to get you sounding less nervous about your financial situation, and paying off your mortgage will do that. 404-872-0750. It is 49 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. Hey, it's 56 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750 is our number. All right, let's get back to the phone, see if we can get another call in here. Celeste joins us on the line. Hi, Celeste.
Hello, Elise. Thank you so much for accepting my call. I need your help.
All right, let's see what I can do for you in the next minute and a half.
I'll retire in June of 2014.
Uh-huh.
I'll pay off my mortgage in 4 years. All the equity remains in, you know, in the house. I'd like to make some repairs on my house. What do you suggest? Who do you suggest I go to, or how do I go about doing this?
Well, if you have equity, do you have a lot of equity in your property?
All of it is in it.
Because you have no mortgage.
I have a mortgage.
If you have a mortgage, then it's not, you don't have all the equity.
Okay. Well, I just have 4 years, and I will have paid off my house. And I want to be comfortable, have it, you know, the repairs made. I need to paint it out.
How much money are we talking about, Celeste?
I believe it will cost about $20,000.
Okay, and how much is the house worth?
My house, well, right now it's worth about $100,000 the way things are, I guess. I'm counting it right. I don't know. You know, with the market going down real.
Yeah,
it was $150,000 previous.
Okay, so Celeste, here's the thing to do. If your house is worth $100,000 and you've probably got maybe $10,000 left on the loan, maybe $15,000, $20,000, what you may want to do while you're still employed is refinance the property and pull out $25,000. Take out a mortgage for $50,000 or $60,000 at the low, low interest rates of where we are. And then you can do what you need to do with the house. You've got a fixed rate mortgage. You could try even to get a 10-year fixed rate mortgage, and then you just pay off whatever it is you don't need. Because this way, you're going to get it at a much more favorable interest rate than you do a home equity line of credit. And for you, this is probably going to be the best way to go. All right? So think about it. Go talk to some lenders. Think about getting a 10-year loan with a fixed interest rate at probably about 3% or less. For about $50,000, and you just pay back whatever you don't need. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
It's 7 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. That's a good place to get all the information on what's going on. At thinklink.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, at G-L-I-N-K. Love to have a conversation with you. We're already talking online, and if you're not there, you're definitely missing part of the conversation. All right, 404-872-0750. Jim's been hanging on for a while, so let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
Well, in December of this past year, I lost my wife.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
My whole goal for calling you was that hopefully you could help me figure out a way that I want to get everything paid off and just kind of, for what days I have left in this world, I just want to take it easy. I'm an IT guy, so I make a decent amount of money, and even while she was fighting cancer, I was able not only to keep up with our payments, but pay ahead. My problem is that back when Cartersville was going through its building boom, I couldn't afford to buy a stick-built home for what they were wanting and what I was getting. So I did the stupid thing, as Dave Ramsey would say, I bought a mobile home. It's a double wide on its own property and stuff, but it was an FHA loan that it was on. I just got it from my sister. Had the loan originally, and I was able to buy it out from her. And anyway, it was refinanced by Bank of America, I want to say 5 years ago, and it brought my rate down to 5%, which is nothing to complain about. 5% is good, but when I started hearing all these commercials about 3, 3.25, I was like, I need to get, you know, do this again because that would help me pay this off soon. While they tell me that, you know, this, yes, an FHA loan, Bank of America won't streamline it again. because they're saying that they just don't streamline mobile homes anymore. But it was good enough for them to do 5 years ago. I thought a loan was a loan as long as it was an FHA loan and it had the streamline feature that as long as I've maintained the home, which I have, that it would be no problem doing that. Can you recommend, if I can't streamline, I do have some monies in the bank. What would you recommend? Because I've got 14 years left on this. I'm sorry, I have 16 years left on this home. I've been paying 14 years. If I would have streamlined before they found out that it was a mobile home again, it would have knocked a year off and knocked it down to 3.5%. So that sounded really good to me. Is there anything you can advise me on?
Jim, let me start by just sort of saying that I'm really sorry that what's happened to you with your wife has got you in a place where, you know, there's this focus now on paying off this loan and just getting it done. You know, streamline refinances on mobile homes are a dicey thing. And the fact that you got it refinanced originally doesn't mean that you can do that forever. It isn't the same kind of a loan as a stick-built house. It just isn't.
Okay.
And so the fact that you got it refinanced was probably an accommodation in the height of the recession. And I wish I could say to you, wow, let me wave my magic wand, and it's going to be 3.5%. But it wouldn't be that anyway, because the rate that you might have gotten it down to, that you might get it down to now, is just 4.5% or 4.75%.
Yeah. So I've been trying to do this for the last couple of months. That's why I said 3.5.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been that probably anyway, because the FHA rates on streamlines are never down at the historic lows.
Mm.
So it might have been 4%, and I'm not saying that would have been 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't have been an even better rate than 5%. Of course it is. But it's not going to get to where you want it to be. Now, you can go and see if there's somebody else who will do it for you. And maybe there will be. But my sense is that you're not going to get what you're looking for. Now, you can call your local HUD office and ask them if they should be able to do a streamline, if you should be able to do another streamline refinance on your loan. And they'll tell you if you can or you can't, and if it was a special deal or not. And that's one way to go, and just be sure. But my understanding is that mobile homes are treated differently. The underlying paper is treated differently than a stick-built home.
Pay plans made the comparison that it was like living in your car. And
well,
if I would have known that back then, I would. But, you know, I was just trying to be a homeowner.
Listen, Jim, Dave Ramsey's not right about everything. Okay? I really love the guy. I've met him a number of times. I think the world of what he has done. But I don't necessarily, there are different kinds of, first of all, nobody even calls it a mobile home anymore. Most of the so-called mobile homes aren't even in existence, really. Manufactured housing is the preferred term. Manufactured housing is permanently affixed to property.
Yes, this one is.
So some of it, it's not really a mobile home. It's a manufactured home. So maybe part of the problem is you keep calling it a mobile home. But it isn't mobile if it's permanently attached. And I did a story on manufactured housing, and honestly, some of it today is built far better than a traditional stick-built home. They use 2x6s instead of 2x4s.
I'm very happy with this one, yeah.
So
my wife loved it, too.
You have to stop feeling bad about where you live and stop feeling like you're not good enough in somebody else's eyes, because that really is not what this should be about. This conversation is about how do you pay this thing off and enjoy living where you're living and not feeling like you've somehow failed. And you have not failed. You bought a home. It happened to be this type of home. Your wife loved it. You seem to like living there.
Yeah.
Why isn't that good enough for you?
I just want my stepkids to have something when I'm gone.
Okay. That is incredibly noble and wonderful. You sound like you've got a lot of life living to go. You sound like you are a young at heart guy who's got a long horizon. You could be around more than 16 years. You could be around 30 years. You don't know, none of us know what our time horizon is. And so what I want you to do is focus on loving and living in this home, enjoying it, and whatever's left for your stepkids will be left for them when you are gone. And maybe one of them will move into this house. Or you may decide to sell this or rent it out and buy something else. And that's okay, too.
Well, thank you very much, Miss.
Listen, you're doing fine. And what I really think is that when we lose our life partners and people who are important to us, it makes everything else seem dimmer for a long time to come. And that's, you're right in the middle of that. You're right in the middle of your first year.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's just got to be awful. And so I don't want you even thinking about this. You shouldn't make any major changes anywhere in your life for the first year, year and a half after you lose somebody important. Because you know what? You're just not thinking straight. I want you to just live in the house that your wife loved and feel as good as you can about your life. And then figure out this year how you're going to go about living the rest of it. Because like I said, Jim, I think you got a long way to go.
Thank you very much.
All right. Will you let me know what happens?
Oh, yeah, I will. All right. You have a very blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Oh, my heart just breaks for Jim. It's just so important that you feel good about where you live. And you can't let other people make you feel like you're living in a car. Because that just isn't the case. Homes come in all shapes and all sizes, and we as their owners live in them the way we choose, and that's okay. And I really resent when somebody makes somebody else feel bad about where they live and how they choose to live their life. Jim's wife loved his house. Jim's wife loved their house. And that is all that matters. And Jim is going to rebuild his life and rebuild his world. And this is his castle, and nobody has the right to disparage it. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours and Jim's. Here on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
It's late in the evening. It's 24 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Thanks for joining me today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, thinkglink.com. All right, let's go back to the phones. Charlie joins us on the line from Brazelton. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's going on?
Well, I'm a member of a credit union, and I'm interested in being a first-time homeowner. And I have $15,000 I can put down, and when I was first taking a loan amount, the interest rate, which is, 2.625%, which of course now it's gone up. I want a 15-year loan, $170,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came in a part of the conversation that you were having with a lady, and, he was talking about locking in a loan. And I didn't know, I've never gone through this process before. And, I was wondering if I'd be able to go ahead and lock in a loan at an interest rate, without receiving the money, because I'm still looking for a home.
Okay, so Charlie, let me jump in and say, first of all, you need to read my book, 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, because you don't know a lot about the process, and it worries me. There are so many pitfalls. You can go to Amazon, and I think you can even download my book or buy a copy for about $10. Go do that, because it's like 400 pages of information that I think you actually really need as a first-time homebuyer. You should not be locking in a loan right now. There's no way to lock in a loan for a house you haven't even found. You want to find the house, get the deal done, agree on a price, and then you want to lock in your loan, because then you'll be 60 days away from closing. What if it takes you a year to find the right house? So that's not feasible. It's not affordable, and it's not really the right thing to do. What you want to do, and the proper process, is to educate yourself, find the right real estate agent, go find the house, make an offer, get it accepted, then go. You've got a lender who's hopefully pre-approved you for up to $170,000 loan, which at 15 years would be about 3.5% at the moment. And you just want to hope that interest rates aren't going to skyrocket in the meantime. But that's the process that you want to find and follow. And so I want you to understand all of those steps in detail and put together the right home buying team and make sure you understand everything it is that you're supposed to do, so that you do it in the right order. Making a mistake at this point would be really costly. And look, you've got a big chunk of money to put down in cash. You're buying a nice house. Wow, the world is your oyster. I'm excited for you. I just don't want you to make any mistakes. So go to Amazon, find my book, download a copy, or buy a copy, start reading, and I know this is going to work out for you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours, here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. Find me online in the ThinkLink community. Go to the Equifax Finance blog for some great information about money, real estate, investing, retirement, and all the rest. All right, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Andrea joins us on the line. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. What's going on in your world today?
Okay, I just want to ask some question about my retirement. I'm 45 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I have a 403B with a company that I used to work with that's laying dormant.
Mm-hmm.
It's more invested in stocks. It's with Fidelity. Now I'm working for a new company. They match, after a year, 13%. It's called
a
cafeteria plan, and I'm putting 10% in.
Mm-hmm.
My current 403B, the one that's dormant, is like at $137,000.
Okay.
And I want to know, because I just want to...
When you say it's dormant, Andrea, when you say it's dormant, do you mean it's not invested, or it is invested and it's growing, or what do you... dormant, that you're not contributing to it? What do you mean by that?
Dormant means that I'm not contributing to it.
Okay.
But it's still invested, and it's still accruing, you know, money on it. So last year it was 110, now it's 137.
How awesome for you.
So I want to know, is it a good idea for me to take it out and combine it with the newest cafeteria plan, which is with Charles Schwab?
You probably can't do that.
No?
Well, is the new plan a 403B plan, or is it a 401K plan?
I think it's the 401k plan.
I don't think you can roll a 403b into a 401k.
That's terrible.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's terrible?
Well, because I think the more I have in one account, the better gain I'll have.
Really? You went from 110 to 137. You had a huge percent return last year. And
I know, yeah.
It doesn't really matter. What matters is what you're invested in. Now,
okay,
you may be
in more.
Hey, Andrea,
uh-huh.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to take that 403B and roll it into an IRA.
Okay.
And then you can keep it at Fidelity, or you could roll it into an IRA at Charles Schwab. If you want everything in the same company, you can do that.
Okay.
So, but you should take very careful note at what it's invested in, because for whatever happened last year with the market zooming up, your money recovered.
Right.
So if you roll it into a 401, an IRA, then you will have to direct that and invest it. So I'm not saying
right.
you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying that those investments, whatever they are, whatever categorization and asset allocation you put that into is working.
Right.
So you have to decide whether that's how you wanted to continue or not. And if you wanted to roll it into an IRA, you probably can do that. But you generally can't combine different types of retirement accounts, right?
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying, is that you may not be able to do that.
Okay. So at the rate of my investment today, do you think it's possible for me to retire at 60? Because I don't really want to have a house note. I want to be able to have make the decision that I just want to work part-time.
Okay, and how are you going to pay for health care?
Actually, I had my own health care. I was paying out of my pocket up until I got this job, and it was working well for me.
Okay, so there's a big difference, though, between buying your own health insurance when you're 40 and buying your own
right.
health insurance when
yeah.
you're 60.
Right, yeah.
So it depends where you live, right?
Right
now,
yeah.
you're living in Atlanta, so Georgia health care is going to be a very different cost than, say, New York or California or Arizona.
Right, yeah.
And some of that has to do with, none of us know yet, how Obamacare is going to unfold. So I think it's too soon to know whether or not you're going to be able to retire in 15 years, because you haven't even answered the big health question, which is what you're going to do about health insurance. And it doesn't have anything to do just about paying for the regular coverage. I mean, if let's say that that's $20,000 or $25,000 a year, how are you going to cover that? Let's
right.
say it's 15,
yeah. Well, you could still work part-time and get insurance. You just have to pay a higher cost.
You can or not. It depends where you are.
Right, yeah.
And not all part-time jobs have that. Yeah, if you want to work for Starbucks and pull coffee, you'll be able to do that.
Well, I work in the healthcare field, so, it's not that bad.
I'm using it as an example of part-time workers who can get
yeah.
health insurance. But if you don't have that question answered, I don't think you can decide whether or not you're going to be able to retire at 60. The other questions that you have to think about are, what are your streams of income going to be? Because from 60 to 62, you won't qualify for Social Security.
Or so, it might not be there, so I'm not dependent on that. That would be a bonus.
Uh-huh. So then you just have to, that's great. So you have to decide what you're invested in, what those streams of income are going to be. It's all it's more information than I have from you now.
Uh-huh.
And you have to do a really thorough assessment of sort of where you have to get to in order to make all the numbers work.
Well, the last question I have is, do you think it's a good idea for me to pay off my house in 12 years?
I don't know. How much is your house payment?
$2,000.
I think that it would free up some cash flow, which would be good. You're still going to have taxes and maintenance and upkeep and utilities
right.
and all that stuff. For retirees, it's really a good idea to not have a house payment. That's
right.
That's a lot of living that you can do on $1,500 a month. That would be very helpful. But
right.
How much do you earn right now?
$130 a year.
That's a lot of money to replace, and $137,000 in a 403B isn't going to do it. So do you have a pension?
Right. Well, I figure if I pay off my house, I don't have any credit card debt, my cars are paid for, I don't need all that extra living. I'm pretty comfortable.
Right, but Andrea, I don't know that you're being entirely realistic about numbers.
Really?
Right? I really think so. So you earn $130,000 a month now. You know, if you wanted to replace $50,000 a year in income,
mm-hmm.
right, you'd need a couple of million dollars a year at today's interest rates.
Right, yeah.
So you have $137,000 in one 403B account. You have, I don't know what other money you have or what other pensions you have, but $130,000, even $200,000, even $300,000 isn't going to go very far in retirement, whether or not you have a house payment. So I think you have to think about this a little bit more carefully. Fidelity has actually an excellent, excellent retirement calculator.
Okay.
And you should go on Fidelity. If you don't have an online account, go sign up for one.
Mm-hmm.
And you should go in and play around with that calculator. It takes some time. You should set aside at least a half an hour to an hour of time and walk through the different screens, because it'll walk you through what your savings is, what the expected rate of growth is. It's going to look at what you want to do part-time, what that might make. And then it's going to look at your expenses, and then it'll give you a calculation for how long your money will last and what kind of income it thinks you need in retirement. And then you're going to have a much better idea of whether or not you're on track. I think you are underestimating by a lot what it's going to cost you to live and work. And if you think you're living now on $130,000 a year, and if you think you can do it all on $35,000 a year, then I think you're going to have a lot of options, or some options. But if you, it's going to be $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year to live, which in 15 years, it could be.
Right.
I don't think you're being realistic. And and that's me without really taking an in-depth, deep look at your numbers and running you through a spreadsheet. I don't have that time, and you don't have those numbers handy, but you can go on Fidelity and walk yourself through this and take a look. Charles Schwab's has a good one. I mean, you know, most of the big investment companies that want your retirement dollars offer these kinds of tools, and you should start to play around them, because I think it'll be absolutely eye-opening for you.
Okay. So you don't think with the 403B and what I'm currently invested in, with the company matching 13% and I'm putting in 10%, that my money will appreciate in 15 years?
I do think it will appreciate in 15 years.
Uh-huh.
But, and if you set aside $20,000, $25,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
in 15 years you're going to have a lot more money. Maybe you'll have $700,000.
Right.
But it's going to cost you in 15 years a lot more to live in your house.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're going to have a higher tax bill. You won't have a mortgage payment because you're going to pay that off. But you're going to have repairs. You say your cars are paid off. Guess what? In 15 years, you're going to need a new car.
I know.
There are other expenses. And then you've got health care insurance. So let's say health care costs you $15 a year, and you've got a new car payment. That's going to cost you, or maybe that's $10,000 a year for the car. Right there, that's $30,000. Now you've got utilities and food and all the rest. That's $40,000 or $50,000. We're talking after-tax dollars. Are you going to travel a little bit? That's $60,000.
I love traveling, so
So now we're at $65,000 a year. This is just like I'm on my fingers counting. I don't know, where is the $60,000 a year going to come from? If you have $600,000 saved, you're 60 years old, I can guarantee you that there is not going to be a return of 10%. Where you can just use 10%, the interest only on that money. And even if you did, you'd still have to pay taxes on it.
Right, yeah.
So I think you're being a little bit unrealistic about what it is you need to save and do. But if you're telling me you're going to get a part-time job that's going to pay you 50, and so your total amount, most of those expenses will be covered, and you're only going to have to withdraw maybe $15,000 a year from your pot of $600,000 in order to make it work, and then you get Social Security 2 years later, then it might be more realistic. But you need to go through the numbers and really figure it out. And back-of-the-envelope calculations aren't going to be a very good comfort to you if you're completely wrong, and then you get to retirement, and it's too late to do anything about it. So go to Fidelity. Sign up today, play around with their calculator, and see how on track you are. And I hope you're really on track with your numbers. That would be fantastic. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
5 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Later this afternoon, I've got my block party, something we do every year. Next week, I'll tell you how it went. But if you have the opportunity to host a block party, you should do it. It helps rebuild your community. 404-872-0750. Hugh joins us on the line. Hi, Hugh.
Hey, Elise. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, Elise, I am going through a divorce. I will end up with selling my house, having two cars in my name. So I'm going to move across town closer to my kids. And the question is, do I take the proceeds from the house and pay off some credit card debt and then the extra car, which I'm a couple of grand upside down in, or do I roll all that into, for tax purposes, into a new down payment? It's kind of an open-ended question, but if I did find a place that I permanently wanted to live, I wouldn't want to waste the down payment from the proceeds on credit card or, you know, a car payment.
How much credit card debt do you have?
About 20 grand.
So, and how much is the car loan?
It's, how much do I have to get rid of? I've had two of them, so I have to get rid of one. So I'll owe about $2,000 to get out of that.
Okay. So if you've got... You should probably just pay the $2,000 to get rid of it. The $20,000 in credit card debt is a little bit of a concern because it could cut back on your ability to actually buy property.
Right.
So I'd love to see you get rid of it, but at the same time, if that's all the cash you have for a down payment and you want to buy something, then you don't want to use that up. But
well, I think I'll end up with $50,000 to $60,000 after the house sells, so I could zap the car and then, you know, get rid of the 20, but then I'd have a nice nest egg to start for down payment. But I just didn't know if that was the smartest use of money.
It is. How much is your interest rate on the debt?
On the credit
20,
card?
On the 20 grand.
12%.
Okay. So, Hugh, where are you going to get 12% on your money?
Exactly.
I mean, there's no place. I could say to you, where are you going to get 5% on your cash? Nowhere. And what is your monthly payment on that debt?
Well, I'm trying to pay it down, so it's, you know, it's in the 500 range right now.
So $500, that means in a year you're going to have another $6,000 set aside because you're not paying on that debt, right? So you're going to rebuild, you're going to be able to rebuild your nest egg. You'll still have the $20,000 to $30,000, but you're going to be able to rebuild it based on the money that you're saving by not paying on that debt. So get rid of it. Pay it off. Sell the house. Pay off the debt. Bank the rest and start saving like crazy. But I'm guessing that living near your kids is going to be worth all of it. That's really where the focus should be. And you're exactly right to do it. The rest will take care of itself. Trust me. All right, 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America one house at a time. The music's playing. That means our time is up. Time for me to go get ready for my block party, which I am so excited about. This week, I hope it's a great week for you. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter. Follow me on Twitter, @Glink, and go and have a good one. All right, have a great one, everybody. I will talk to you again next Sunday. It's News Talk WSB.